This will be your first Christmas in England, Mr. Gingrich.
Yes, you know, it's exactly like the Christmas cards. Snow, red berries and robins. Marina told me not to expect all this.
Yes, know. The snow's exactly on cue for one.
We got here just ahead of it.
It saw you arrive and then descended.
Of course, you must remember Mr. Gingrich is one of America's finest magicians. Perhaps he arranged it all himself.
Perhaps it's one of his illusions.
No, I'm good, but not that good.
Colonel Victor Grace threw a party last Christmas at his home in the Westmoreland Hills. It's a plain but substantial house, built of the local stone and standing in a somewhat overgrown acre of garden, 3 miles from the nearest village and 11 from Bexenholm railway station. 4 guests were invited for the holiday weekend. The Colonel's daughter-in-law, Marina Grace, her friend and partner, Mr. Fred Gingrich, known as the Modern Houdini, our Chief Constable, Lionel Monroe, and finally, myself. I am the Colonel's sister, by profession a forensic surgeon employed by the Home Office, spinster, somewhat scarred of face, living alone. It was a luxury to be pampered by Victor's servants, I think especially of the cooking of his man, Albert. But one of our party had little appetite at dinner on Christmas Eve, Marina, who asked to be excused quite early. I remember the young maid, Ella, in her brown uniform, leaving the room towards the end of the meal. I must reconstruct what happened next, because there's no direct evidence. But it seems that Ella entered the library with a tray of coffee cups. She placed the tray on a table. And then, imagining herself safe from interruption, she began rifling my brother's desk. She had not found what she was after when the French window behind her was suddenly thrown open from the outside.
Oh, my God!
What's this then?
My gold Albert!
Well, is this how you say thank you to the man who got you out of prison? Pilfering his desk?
I ain't pilfering. Blimey, my body's stuck in Albert. What are you doing in the garden at this time of night?
I was having a scout round. For Dr. Watson.
He's still missing?
He's vanished into pure air. The Colonel's doing his nut. The lights were blazing in here. Haven't you got enough sense to draw the curtains if you want to go robbing him?
I tell you, I ain't robbing him. I just brought the coffee cups in. They're having it in here. And then I thought, well, if nobody was around, I thought I'd sneak a look at me report. He was writing it this afternoon.
What report?
Parole report.
Oh.
The one he sends in once a month. Telling him if I've washed my neck every day and not cost nobody over the skull.
Why, have you?
What?
Cost somebody.
No, but I might do in a minute.
Well, why are you so anxious to see that report, then?
The Colonel had me in here this afternoon, about that fiver that's gone missing.
Oh, Lord, yes, the milkman's Christmas box. Here, you didn't nick it, did you?
I didn't even know it was there. The old clot's asking to be robbed if he leaves a fiver under a milk can at the end of the drive. Any old tramp coming up the lane could take it.
Now, listen, Ella, if you did nick it, he knows. He can tell with one look. Those big blue eyes come up and bore into you and click, he knows.
Well, the big blue eyes are lying this time. Still, he'd shot me, though, wouldn't he, Albert?
If he thinks you nicked it, he will. To him, there won't be any option. You see, he gave his word.
Oh, no, he couldn't go back on his word to save me from 3 more years inside, could he? Why did he tell the parole board he'd take me on if he don't even trust me?
Look, I'll tell him I took the blooming fiver myself, if you like. Say I saw it blowing away down the lane and thought I'd put it in my pocket for safekeeping. Now, how's that?
Honestly, Albert?
Well, you know my reputation.
Oh, thanks, Albert.
I'd do anything for a damsel in distress. He can only give me a rollicking. Now then, get this desk tidied up. And chin up. It's Christmas tomorrow. Now, come on. Give us a quick kiss under the mistletoe.
What mistletoe?
Oh, blimey, use your imagination.
Ah, good evening, Albert.
Evening, Doctor.
Congratulations on the meal. Really splendid.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Grace.
Come on, Gingold. In you go. Oh,
thank you, sir.
Albert, why are you dressed up for going out?
I've just been having a scout round for Dr. Watson, sir.
Oh, good heavens, he's still missing. Yeah, you'd better have another look. See if he's got locked in one of the outbuildings.
Oh, very good, sir. I'll go out through the window, if that's okay, sir.
Yes, carry on.
I say, sir.
Yes, Gingold?
You sure got some books in this place.
Yes, it's a library.
Is this a family portrait, sir?
Our father, yes.
Mr. Justice Grace.
He looks pretty tough.
He was an old poppet, actually. Only he would go hanging people.
Excuse me, sir. Shall I bring the coffee in now?
Coffee you do.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I believe I'll stick to port.
As you wish. All right, Ella. Bring enough for three. Mr. Monroe's just stepped out to look at his car.
Yes, sir.
One moment.
Yes, sir?
My desk.
Desk, sir?
Yeah, the blotter. Hasn't been changed. Covered in ink. Bring me a clean one.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. Right away, sir. Oh. Thank you, sir.
That's the famous desk, Mr. Gingrich, where my brother composes his military memoirs. He's going to tell us all about his campaigns in Korea.
Really?
When I can get a clean blotter.
When does the first volume come out?
When it's ready. When it is ready, not before.
You know, you must be one of the few people who still writes in regular ink.
I like a steel nib, Mr. Gingold. One somehow gets closer to the page.
Like a bayonet tearing into the flesh. An illusion enhanced by the use of red ink.
Mm, a sister's in sparkling metaphorical form tonight.
Thank you, Victor. By the way, Mr. Gingrich here is named Mr. Gingrich.
I'm well aware of that.
Then don't keep calling him Mr. Gingold.
Gingold? Why should I call him that?
I don't know, dear, but you keep doing it.
I think you're mistaken.
Why don't you all just call me Fred?
Vanessa, don't you think you'd better go and see if Marina's feeling better?
Oh, yes, I had.
No, I shouldn't bother too much, Dr. Grace. She often takes a nap around this time.
Well, I'm sure she doesn't often leave the table in the middle of dinner to do it.
No, well, I guess the food was, you know, just a little rich for her tonight. The truth is, we're not used to eating quite so, well, grandly.
What's that? Are you saying that Marina doesn't get enough to eat?
We've been living on tea and dry toast since we got to London.
Tea and dried toast? Toast, tea and dry? Do you mean you're not making enough to feed her properly? I was under the impression you were both earning a decent living.
Well, no, sir. Nobody seems much interested in a magic act anymore. Our last 3 months in the States, well, we laid an egg in every town from Baton Rouge to Chicago. That swipe was like an answer to a prayer when you kindly offered to pay our air tickets to London. But when we got there, we had no engagement set, no agent, no nothing. We couldn't even get auditions for a while.
Extraordinary. I wish the child had told me things had reached this pass.
I guess she's a bit too proud to plead poverty, sir.
Well, I notice that you're not backward in that direction.
Now, excuse me, sir. I wasn't pleading poverty, sir. I was just explaining
Marina. We were worried about you.
Are you feeling better, dear?
I'm just fine, honestly. Just a little sinus headache.
Ah, I might have something in my bag to take that away.
Oh, thanks. I've got a little cure of my own. At least it works sometimes.
Oh, what's that?
Snuff. I think I'll be okay after I've taken a pinch. That is, if you've no objections.
Of course not.
Fire away. But first you must have a brandy. One for you, Frank.
Thank you, sir.
Don't forget me, Victor.
How could I?
Sorry if I spoilt the party.
Marina, you don't know what you missed. As a Christmas treat, they let me stay behind drinking port and swapping dirty stories with a grown-up. Flouting 500 years of tradition. What do you think my father would have made of that?
My father, the judge, would have passed summary sentence after putting on the black cap.
Well, I guess that's one tradition we can do without.
My father, do you mean? Or the black cap?
I think Fred means hanging.
I believe I detect in our American friend a fashionable derision for the old form. Some of them did serve a useful purpose, you know.
Well, not the black cat, that's for sure.
Well, there you are, Marina.
Now, drink
that
down. Thank you,
Victor. Mr. Gingold?
Thank you, sir.
And one for you.
Thank you, Victor. Your good health, my dear. And here's to Father's memory.
Yes, the old judge. Bless him.
The old judge. Cheerio and happy Christmas, everybody.
Yes.
Happy Christmas.
You didn't join in the toast, Greengage. Come, we're not drinking to the hangman's noose, you know. My word, for a man who delights huge gatherings with his exploits, you seem to have very little sense of humour.
But I'm not a comic, Colonel.
No. You're an escapologist and illusionist, and a very fine one. My son always said you were the most amazing man in the world. And he wasn't too bad in that line himself, was he, Marina?
No. No, Valentine was very good. Brilliant.
Brilliant, certainly. And brave. Brave as a lion.
God love us, it bites your face off out there.
Your car all right?
Well, I've given it some antifreeze and I could do with a drop myself.
Yeah, brandy do the trick.
You're a mind reader.
Oh, there we are.
Good hope. Bless you.
You're just in time, Monroe. We've somehow strayed onto the subject of hanging.
Have you really? Always a popular notion.
Tell me, Greengage, have you ever tried hanging?
In my act, do you mean?
Well, certainly not in real life. No, I mean standing on the trap in full view of the audience, manacled, noose round the neck, lever pulled, bingo, down you drop out of sight. Audience gasps. And then, hey presto, up you pop, shinning up the rope, unmanacled, fresh as a daisy, and on to the next trick.
No, I never chance my arm at that.
Your arm?
Why not? Too risky?
No, sir. Too sick.
Yes, I'm with you there. Not that it wouldn't drag him in. Public toppings always were a big draw.
Quite so. And has it ever struck any of you that abolishing hanging has led to a steep decline in one of our finer arts?
You mean the art of breaking necks?
Well, that too, Mr. Grimthorpe. But what I had in mind was the art of murder. Hmm? Every murder had to be a masterpiece when one slip led to the scaffold. The noose, you know, nourished an entire school of quite splendid women poisoners. Artists, every one of them. Why, women as a class have virtually ceased to practice murder. Yet it's the only art at which they've consistently excelled men. I tell you, an accomplished young lady in our grandfather's day was expected to do four things properly. Music, drawing, needlework, and murder. Oh, well, may you laugh. But the trouble is that as in life, so in literature. And the abolition of the rope brought about the total disappearance of the truly gripping whodunit. You see, if our fictional murderer doesn't risk his neck, the entire flavour is gone. So, you see, all our lives were made the poorer when we cast off the old hemp necklace.
Excuse me, Colonel, I think you're talking out of your hat.
Fred.
Oh, dear.
You'd like to bring hanging back, so that more subtle killers could rise up to baffle you, to titillate you?
Oh, you must think I've got bats in my belfry. No, Mr. Gingham, I'm just lamenting the death of the detective story, that's all. The vintage crime puzzle. The really decent British murder. That's what I miss.
Victor boasts he has the finest collection of detective fiction in the country, you know.
Oh, I'll find Gingold a good one to curl up with in bed. Yes, an early Agatha Christie or a Clifford Kitchen. Or perhaps a Michael Battle.
Well, no thanks, it's not exactly my scene.
You don't like detective stories?
I think they're absolute hokum.
Oh, dear.
From what I can gather, they're just cobbled together by frustrated old females with some kind of kink.
Oh.
Well, what's so funny?
Nothing at all. Do go on.
Well, some disfigurement that stops them looking at the world square on.
Excuse me, are you referring to some actual physical disfigurement, like the scar on my face?
Oh, gosh, no, look, I'm sorry, I just wasn't thinking.
Well, that's all right, I'm used to it. But I was just interested to know whether you meant a physical scar or an emotional one.
Look, forget it, please, I guess I was just spitballing.
Mr. Gingold, are you familiar with the detective stories of Michael Battle?
Oh, Victor, do put a sock
in. No, just a moment, it's my house. Michael Battle, Mr. Gingo.
All right, Victor, I'm off to bed.
Hey, what's going on?
I just wondered if you'd read anything by Michael Battle.
Okay, yeah. Well, no. I once started one of his books in hospital. There was nothing else to read, but I couldn't get past page 2.
Ah, now that is a great pity. Allow me to introduce you to Michael Battle.
What? How's that?
Permit me to introduce my sister Vanessa, alias Michael Battle, author of 76 Little Babies Dressed in Primrose Overcoats.
Oh, no. Is this true?
I'm afraid it is.
Oh, my God. Look, if I said anything offensive,
no,
I apologize.
No, it's my brother who should apologize. He has a rather infantile sense of humor.
Do forgive me, Mr. Gingold. An old soldier can never resist laying an ambush.
Coffee, sir.
Ah, thank you, Ella.
I can't believe it.
What?
Vanessa, Michael Battle. It's incredible. Did you know Mr. Monroe?
As a matter of fact, I did. I'm her greatest fan.
No, you're not. I am. Vanessa, I'm just overwhelmed.
Not half as much as me. Do you mind if we change the subject?
Where on earth do the stories come from? I've always wanted to ask.
They're just a sublimation of my violent tendencies, I think Fred would say.
No.
No, I just think of a situation, a set of characters, think of who it would be amusing to bump off, and then do it.
Yes, but where do you find your characters?
Well, they're all round us. I mean, for example, look at us. We have all the ingredients of a whodunit here, don't we? One of Victor's vintage crime puzzles. And it's just as Fred says. The cast comes straight out of the property basket. The peppery colonel, the vinegary spinster sister.
The salty policeman.
Well, yes, the complete cruet of suspects. And all laid out on a starched tablecloth of snow. And who else are we here? Oh, yes, the mysterious, snuff-taking beauty, the touchy young American escapologist and knife-thrower.
Hey, am I touchy?
Oh, yes. The former burglar-turned-Batman-turned-butler.
Coffee, Dr. Grace.
Oh, thank you, Ellen.
Oh, blimey, my body's sticking. Oh, sorry, Doctor, I thought you had hold of it.
No damage, Ellen. It's all gone in the saucer.
Oh, I'll get you another.
See, we even have the comic maid who says, blimey, my body's stocking at every little upset. You don't mind being called the comic maid, do you, Ella? It's only a little game we're playing.
It's not my place, Doctor, to mind anything. Your coffee, Doctor.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Ella.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, Ella, you can run along.
Oh, dear. It's not my place, Doctor, to mind anything. Now, you see what I mean about characters from stock. The maid, of course, has been known to be the murderer.
Does anybody mind if I take my snuff now?
We'll all watch with great interest.
Now, don't make me laugh or you'll have me spilling it. Now, open the lid.
What a pretty box.
Yes, gold.
Of course, Marina could be our murderer.
Oh, drat.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's got a loose hinge. Oh, Victor, I'm afraid it's made a mess of your carpet.
It's only a spot, child. That'll soon brush up, as long as you've got some left.
Oh, yes, plenty. Now... there. Would anybody else like to try some?
Well, I'll take a pinch before I go to bed, if I may. Might stop me snoring.
That's it, snuff. You're the victim, Victor. You die by the ingestion of snuff containing a poison which leaves no trace. What do you think of that?
It's not to be sneezed at. Oh. It could almost qualify as Monroe's perfect crime, eh, Lyle? Hmm? Monroe, you know, has the ambition of wanting to commit the perfect murder. The natural reaction against being a policeman all one's life, poor chap.
How do you know I haven't done it already? Three or four times. I'm such a blinding expert that I never leave a clue. My victims appear to have died from chicken pox, senile decay. At any rate, something completely orthodox.
No.
America speaks.
Now, as I figure it, if you really wanted to commit the perfect murder, that wouldn't satisfy you. A murder that nobody even suspects is a murder.
Of course. Anyone cracked enough to attempt the perfect murder, purely for his own sake, would make sure it was a very obvious murder, just so that he could have a good gloat as the police stumbled about looking for it.
Yeah, sure he would. What's so funny?
I was just reminded of a curious newspaper headline I once saw in Tibet. Woman found strangled in monastery. Police suspect foul play.
That's good. So, have you really been in Tibet, sir?
Once or twice.
Really? Well, what took you there?
I went to pick the brains of their holy men. I've always been curious about the nuts and bolts of magic, you know, no matter what form it takes. Levitation, telekinesis, Indian rope trick, walking on hot coals. Well, even your sort of magic, spiriting yourself out of padlocked cabinets and so forth. They're all kindred trades, are they not? All victories of mind over brute flesh.
Well, not giving any secrets away, a lot of it is just plain mechanical know-how.
Granted. That's why I said nuts and bolts. But what separates the great magician from the gifted mechanic is exceptional mental control.
Oh, sure, that comes into it.
And some men have developed it so finely that they can overcome their physical limitations almost absolutely. That's why I wandered about the East, trying to pick up their secrets. I had my most interesting experience in Jutabad in Nepal. The tribesmen there were in the habit of passing red-hot skewers through their own bodies. I had the diggings of a job trying to get Albert to do the same.
Albert? Oh, now that's the tallest story of all.
Oh, yes, the fellow was most obstinate. Look here, I said, I've done it. You don't want to let the side down, do you, in front of this pack of ragamuffins?
You did it?
You bet.
But didn't it hurt?
No. I picked up a few wrinkles from the head chap, you see. Studied the different practices and postures they went in for. Breath control, meditation, what have you. And at the end of the day, I was able to censor out every distraction.
You mean a red-hot skewer in your flesh? You could censor that?
My dear Gingold, with discipline and practice, anyone could. Even Albert did.
Albert did?
Certainly. Pleased as punch with himself once he'd taken the plunge. Went strutting up and down like a human pincushion. Somewhat singed one, of course. but that's all ancient history. Now, would anyone like to join me at midnight mass tonight?
Have you seen the roads, Victor?
Look, there's ice and snow everywhere.
Yeah, I nearly took a toss coming in from target practice.
Oh, well, did you say target practice.
Mm-hmm. I practice throwing my knives for an hour every day. Albert said it'd be okay if I used your hayloft, your gymnasium or whatever.
Ah, yes, the gym.
Yeah, that's quite a place. Who uses it?
Oh, it's just an ancient stables I fitted up for boxing and physical training. I like to do a bit of sparring with Albert. Keeps us both on our toes. And I believe little Ella goes in for lifting the dumbbells up there. Extraordinary, what? Of course, I'm on the injured list at the moment. This stupid gout. So I have to content myself with battles of wit. Oh, yes, by the by, I have something rather splendid in that line for you tonight. Jolly good Christmas game.
Oh, no. Can I be excused? I loathe games.
Wait till you hear the prize. £1,000.
Victor, is this one of your merry pranks?
Excuse me, sir. Your clean blotter, sir.
Ah, yes, just put it down over there. Yes, and then you can stay and listen.
Yes, sir.
Because Ella can play this game too. Albert can. You all can. And the winner collects £1,000. Yes, £1,000, if he succeeds in entering this room undetected. Better than a motto from a Christmas cracker, what? You see, in selecting a decent party game, the good host must consider the various talents of his guests assembled and endeavour to tailor the prank accordingly. So I gave this much thought and came to the conclusion that most of my guests this weekend had in common a certain expertise.
Oh, yes, and that is?
Why, breaking and entering.
Breaking and entering?
Well, in a manner of speaking. I mean, Gingold, as we all know, is the modern Houdini. And Marina, like all the best magician's assistants, can vanish and reappear elsewhere, apparently at will. Now, Ella is a practiced prison breaker, and so, once upon a time, was Albert. As for our friend, the Chief Constable, I don't know if you're aware, but he had the habit in wartime not of breaking out of German prisons, but of breaking into them and getting others out. Mm. And now he's regarded as our most eminent authority on criminal methods of breaking and entering.
And you'll pay £1,000 if they can enter this room? You must be dotty.
Not completely.
I take it there's a concealed hazard.
Oh, not concealed. Because I'm about to reveal it. Now, you see the little glass-fronted box I've set into the wall?
Yeah.
And inside it a button?
Well, some kind of fire alarm, isn't it?
Not exactly. Let me show you. If I remove the glass safety shield, thus, and then press the button, presto! The music begins to play, and the button lights up as a red warning signal.
A warning of what?
A guillotine.
A guillotine?
Would you like to see? Press that button, William Monroe, and it'll be safe to open the door.
Very well.
All clear now? You can open the door, Gingold. Or perhaps you'd rather I did.
Okay. What can I lose? Only my head, I guess. Okay. Well, I guess I keep my head.
Now, take a look at the top of the door frame.
Well, well.
What is it?
There's a groove up here about a couple of inches wide running all the way along.
Feel inside with your fingers. Careful, it's awfully sharp.
Oh, my God, there's a blade up here. Say, do you mean this thing can drop?
Naturally. It's a guillotine.
Oh, charming toys you play with. What's holding it up?
Electromagnets.
And you mean they can be switched on and off by that little button on the wall?
It fills the doorway with a curtain of electronic beams. If they're broken by someone trying to enter or to leave, the magnets are cut and the blade drops. Chop.
Oh, you gotta be joking. Say, this is one big bluff.
Possibly. Perhaps the blade can drop. Perhaps I'm pulling your legs. Well, isn't that the essence of a first-class game, the uncertainty? At any rate, anyone wishing to win the big prize has been warned about the door, and I think we'll have it closed. Now, then, of course, there's the window. The same mechanism operates the most appalling alarm bell if the window is so much as touched. Ah, I see you're looking at the fireplace, Monroe. If you're thinking of entering down the chimney, I must tell you the fire will be made up with ash logs last thing at night. And I think we'll put one on now. There we are. And I'm afraid there are no secret passageways connecting with this room, no priest holes hidden behind the panelling, or trap doors under the carpet.
Oh, first class, Victor.
I'm glad it tickles you so much, Monroe.
They've swallowed it, Victor, every one of them.
But not you.
Just watch this. Press the button, will you, Gingrich? I'm going to open the door.
Oh, sure.
All right, here we go. Hand on the knob. Now, what are the lines? It's a far, far better thing.
Lionel, don't touch that door.
Oh, too late. I'm touching it and I'm going to open it. Just watch.
Press the button, please. Someone at the window. I imagine that's Albert trying to enter the window. You know, Monroe, if I were you, I should be thanking him dearly. All right, Albert. In you come.
Sir, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news? What's that on your hands?
It's blood, sir. It's Dr. Watson.
Dr. Watson? Hurt?
Dead, sir. Somebody's killed him.
God, what? Knocked down?
No, sir. Somebody used a knife on him.
What a poor, dear chap. Upon my word. A dear, sweet fellow. I'm sorry. I really can't face all this at my age.
No, darling. Try and pull yourself together.
That poor, foolish creature. He was all I had left in the world, you see.
Now, do try to get it in perspective, Victor. Dr. Watson was only a dog.
Only a dog? What did you say? He was the only friend I could count on to be faithful.
Oh, come now. I've been faithful, sir. You can always count on Albert. Oh,
don't be ridiculous. Only a dog. Is that what you said at breakfast, Vanessa? I told you I was setting aside a few £1,000 in my will so that he could be cared for if he survived me, and you said it's ridiculous.
Victor.
Albert. How was he killed?
Wouldn't you like to leave the details till later, sir?
What did they do to him?
They cut his throat, sir.
Cut his throat?
It must have been over quick, sir. No pain.
How do you know that?
They cut clean through his windpipe, sir.
Clean through? Through? Oh, yes. I see. A scalpel. Of course. Tell me, Vanessa, did you bring your bag of tricks with you? Equipment? Tools of the trade?
My surgical instruments?
Yes, yes.
Well, they're in the car, but surely...
I thought as much.
Are you suggesting that I had something to do with this?
Only a dog. Heard it from your own lips this very morning.
Oh, Victor, you're talking nonsense.
Am I really? Oh. What's the matter with you, Albert? You done something to your arm?
I think I've bust my wrist, sir.
What? When you were killing him? Did he put up a fight when you were killing him?
No, sir. I fell over his body. I was going through the shrubbery and I just stumbled over him. I felt my wrist go when I hit the ground.
Felt your wrist go? You always were a malingerer.
Well, let me have a look, Albert. Yeah. Here, now, can you slip your coat on?
Man's a confirmed malingerer. Disgrace to his regiment.
How gently does it. There.
Where did you find my dog?
In the shrubbery, sir, just opposite the gymnasium.
Ooh. Oh, sorry, Albert. Now, don't try to move that arm. It'll have to go in a sling.
Right.
I'll go and find something to fix you up.
Found near the gymnasium? Perhaps you have something to tell me, Gingold, eh?
I think you're in shock, Colonel. You've lost your cool.
Cool? What language is this?
I think you could use a good night's sleep, sir. With respect. I guess we all could.
Could I clear the coffee things, sir?
Coffee things? There!
Oh, damn you!
They're cleared.
Oh.
We have had a bereavement, Ella. This is a house in mourning.
Blimey, Christmas too. I knew something coming along and spoil it.
What was that?
This scarf should do the trick, Albert. Oh, someone dropped the tray.
No. Wait, Vanessa.
I beg your pardon?
The sling can wait.
Oh, don't behave like a spoilt child.
I'm going to put you all out of here in a minute.
What?
Yes, you can attend to that malodorous malingerer out of my sight.
Excuse me, I think I'll say good night.
No, Marina, stay. Yes.
I want all of you to stay. I will sit at my desk and talk to you like a headmaster. You know, I'm not a man noted for the tenderness of my feelings. I'm an army man. For a long time, I've been fed up with our species. A wise man once said, out of the crooked timber of humanity, no straight thing ever was made. A man looks for loyalty. Well, you'll never find it among men. That much I learned. Only among animals. You see, animals have no possessions. Yeah, I think that might be the answer. Now then, look at this. My will. Disposal of my possessions. I'm having my solicitor over tomorrow. I'm going to change it.
It's Christmas Day, dear.
He won't mind calling in for a Christmas noggin and a fee on top of it. Now, before I tear this up, you might like to hear the details. Yeah. Now, to summarise. To my friend Lionel Munro, the R.V. Grace collection of periodicals and books on murder fiction. To my sister Vanessa, I bequeath this house in which she grew up, and $10,000 a year. To my cook Batman, Albert Congleton, £10,000 for faithful service. To my bloodhound dog, Dr. Irrelevant now. To any other employee in my service at the time of my death, that would be Ella, $5,000 by way of notice. The rest of my estate, valued at something like $190,000, the last time I inquired, to my daughter-in-law, Marina Grace. And now, there. In pieces.
Sir, permission to speak, sir?
One sentence.
Won't I be getting my cut, sir?
Not a penny. Neither will any of you. It will go to less treacherous animals.
Oh, sir, even 10,000 is not a lot at the end of the day. It's hardly what I'd get as redundancy money, sir.
I've nothing to add. Now, if you'll kindly leave me, I'll draft my new will.
I only want my fair cut, sir.
Go. All of you.
As if anybody wanted to stay.
Oh, come on, Ella. Bring the tray and then off to bed.
Righto, Doctor.
Are you sure I can't get you a sleeping tablet, Victor? Do try to be in better form tomorrow, darling. It is Christmas Day. Good night, dear. Good night, all of you.
Good night, Doctor.
Well, good night, old boy. Come on, Gingrich.
Just hold on one moment. Colonel Grace, could I ask just one question, sir? Is the bet still on?
Please get out of my sight.
Sir, is there anything I could get you? A nice cup of cocoa?
No.
Whatever you say, sir. There is just one thing, sir.
Well?
Does all this mean we won't be wearing funny hats tomorrow?
Take this fellow away, please, Munro. He is giving me a headache. And no more disturbances.
Come along, Albert.
But we've always had paper hats, sir.
Albert, blow. Good night, sir.
Alone, at last. No more disturbances. Yes. We'll soon make sure of that. Will we be wearing funny hats? Funny hats. Why not? The clowns, prancing and cavorting in their funny hats.
Dr. Grace?
Mm-mm.
Wake up, Doctor.
Oh, what time is it?
Just gone 8. Of a Christmas morning.
What's the weather doing?
Snowing like mad.
Oh.
Doctor, Albert sent me in to say the Colonel ain't slept in his bed.
What, my dear?
Albert thinks he might be...
Well?
Well, in the library.
Library?
The door's locked. We can't get no answer.
Did you take a look in through the French window?
Well, I tried, sir, but the curtains are drawn.
Victor! Victor, are you in there, old boy?
I've been trying that since 7 o'clock, sir.
And the French window's locked?
Yes, sir.
Then we'll have to break it open.
Well, what are we waiting for? I could open that window with one finger.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a merry, merry Christmas.
Many of them, Dr. Grace.
No sign of my brother?
It looks as though he's still in there.
You mean he's been in there all night?
Well, listen, the music's still playing.
Music? Oh, yes.
Could have had some kind of turn. We were just about to go in through the French window.
I'm on my way.
That's all right, Gingrich, I'll do it.
Look, it's my profession. You don't want it damaged.
It's my profession, too. Nobody in there till I've taken a gander, please.
Okay, I'll come with you.
No, I'd much rather you all stayed here. Don't jump if you hear the alarm. It'll just mean I've got in.
Excuse me, Dr. Gray. Shall I start getting breakfast?
Oh, just leave it for a few minutes, Ella. Is Mrs. Grace up yet?
No, Doctor. I went in to call her, but she was sleeping so deep.
What do you mean, sleeping deep?
I couldn't rouse her. I think she must have been tired out, sir.
Yes, she had a very trying night, the poor lamb. How's your arm this morning, Albert?
Well, I couldn't manage a proper wash, Doctor. It stiffened right up. It's a good job it wasn't my right arm, or I would be in a mess.
Yes, well, I'm afraid you're stuck with that sling for a while. Oh, there. Mr. Monroe's inside. He switched it off.
And he switched the guillotine off, thank the Lord.
Guillotine? I've forgotten about that.
Come on, Monroe. Open up!
Lionel, is everything all right? Is Victor in there, Lionel?
Jeez, plodding British policeman.
Lionel! Open this door. Now, come on at once.
I'll count ten and then I'm going round there.
Well, Lionel?
Vanessa?
Well, is he in there?
Please go to the drawing room. I'll be with you shortly.
What? I'm coming in there.
Vanessa, I must ask...
Can't you just tell us if he's in there, sir?
Lionel, he's dead, isn't he?
Vanessa.
Let me past.
As you wish.
The others were drawn after me into the room. My brother lay face down at his desk. His right hand rested on the white blotter. A steel-nibbed pen stuck out from his stiffened fingers. A knife, planted to its hilt in his back, had a white bone haft. The winter light fell upon several dark splashes on the deep blue carpet where last night's coffee had been upset. Towards the centre of the room was a small gingery stain left by Marina's spilt snuff. In the fireplace, a log smouldered away, reduced almost to ash. On the top of the log there rested a burnt sheet of paper, burnt to grey ash, but recognisably a sheet of paper.
Say, listen, can I own up to something right here and now?
Well...
That's my knife in his back. One of my throwing knives. Now listen, is somebody here trying to put me on the spot?
Now why on earth should they try to do that?
Hadn't somebody better ring for the police?
Not for the moment.
Oh, but Lionel...
Not yet. A gang of policemen barging about might obscure things, not make them clearer. The atmosphere of a murder is rather quick to evaporate once the wind blows in.
But we're obstructing the
course of justice. I'll take the can for that. Have you any idea how long he's been dead? I'm sorry, I must ask.
I should say about 6 hours.
And it's now 8:15. That would make it 2 a.m. or thereabouts.
Possibly longer. The room's quite warm.
But then could we say 1 o'clock at the earliest?
I think so. There's one thing I am sure of.
Yes?
He was killed by a left-handed man.
Wait, now why left-handed? How can you possibly know that?
It's quite clear, Fred.
Huh?
You see the angle at which the knife enters the body?
Yeah.
It was driven upwards into the left side of the back with a distinct bias to the right, you see? Yeah. Well, a right-handed blow would have a bias to the left.
Death would have been instantaneous.
If the knife went into the heart, yes. But I can't be sure of that for the moment. It may have narrowly missed the heart or gone in at the very edge.
In which case?
He might have remained conscious for, a couple of minutes at the most.
Now, just hold it there.
Yes, Fred?
A man. You said a left-handed man.
Mm-hmm.
Why not a woman?
Well... She'd have to be jolly powerful. The blade's gone in right up to the hilt. Yes, and the more I think about it, it would have taken exceptional strength even from a man. It's an upward thrust, you see. Difficult to get much force behind one of those, unless you're as strong as a bull.
Excuse me, Doctor.
Yes, Albert?
Well, no offence intended to Mr. Gingrich, but couldn't somebody have thrown a knife? You can tell me to shut up, but it is a throwing knife.
No, Albert, not unless my brother was standing on a hill or perhaps a staircase and a knife thrower at some point below him. The knife entered his back upwards, you see, Albert.
Yes, of course, Doctor. Take no notice of me. I'm all over the place.
Oh, for God's sake, Albert. Can't you see that much? He was stabbed as he sat on his stool. Somebody crept up behind him and let him have it.
Thank you, Ella. We must all try to remain calm.
Hello, everybody. Oh. Happy Christmas.
Oh. Oh. Victor!
Marina. 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 My God, she's passed out. Here, Monroe, come on. Help me get her onto the sofa. Couldn't you have slapped her face or something? You're supposed to be a doctor.
Well, that's a good way to break a person's nose, nothing else. Besides, Mr. Gingrich, I don't believe in hitting a pregnant woman.
Pregnant? You know? Well, she told you?
There was no need.
Fred.
Yeah, okay, baby. You just lie back. Everything's going to be fine.
Fred, what made you do it? What made you do it?
Now, look, don't fret yourself, sugar. I didn't do a thing.
It's your knife. Your knife. That's your knife, Fred.
Marina, now stop this. Albert.
Yes, Doctor.
We'll all feel a lot better with some breakfast inside us.
Breakfast now, Doctor.
So if you'll pop along and make it, you too, Ella. He can't manage by himself with that arm.
Oh, very good, Doctor. Come on, Ella.
Fred.
Yeah?
But why would anybody use your knife? How could they get hold of it?
Where did you keep it? Up in my room. There's a whole case of them. Set of 13. The case was in the dresser.
And do you keep the case locked?
Why should I? No.
And your room was unlocked?
Well, it's not an hotel.
So anyone could have walked in and taken one?
Sure, they could have taken a lot.
I sincerely hope not. Slip up and see if the case is still there, will you?
I sure as hell will.
And Fred?
Yeah?
Just one question.
Okay.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Ah, oh, so that's a pitch.
Well, of course, you're not obliged to answer.
Right-handed or left-handed, he's neither. What's that got to do with it?
He's neither.
He's both. He's ambidextrous.
Ah, I see.
Oh, you think you do.
And you, Marina. Which hand do you use?
Now, that's enough grilling for this morning, Monroe.
I'm right-handed. Why? I don't understand any of this.
They reckon the old boy was killed by a left-hander, is all.
They what? Oh.
Yeah, I guess I'm in a one-way lobster pot. Even if it turns out he was killed by a right-hander. Okay, now you listen, Monroe. I'm going up now and I want no more pressure on Marina. No more questions. You got that?
Yes.
Good.
You think he did it, don't you? Well, you're wrong. Do you want to know why? Because I...
Excuse me. Breakfast in 5 minutes, Doctor.
Oh, good.
Albert.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't happen to be your best arm that you've injured, does it?
Pardon, sir?
You're right-handed?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank God I didn't bust that one, eh? Otherwise it would have been one of Ella's burnt offerings for breakfast.
And Ella, which hand does she use?
Right hand, sir, I think. Left hand. No. Well, blow me, that's queer. I don't know, sir.
Ask her to step in for a minute, would you?
Very good, sir.
And to spare you the embarrassment of asking, Lionel, I'm right-handed.
Yes, Vanessa, I've known that for a long time.
Just as I've known for a long time that you're left-handed.
I'm flattered that you'd have taken the trouble to notice.
No trouble at all, my dear.
Ella to see you, sir. And I've taken the liberty to bring this sheet, Doctor, to cover up the remains.
Oh, yeah, but thank you, Albert.
Now, Ella.
Yes, sir?
Just a little question I've had to put to everybody. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Why?
Just answer the question.
You can't make me. Anyway, I'm a right-hander. I am, always have been.
Thank you. That's all.
Sir?
Mm-hmm.
That was a fib, sir.
Oh, dear.
I'm left-handed, sir.
Ah. Well, bear up, child, sir. Am I? The best people are, you know.
Anyway, sir, couldn't have been Ella, because she got up in the night of...
Well, do go on.
Oh, sorry, it's nothing, sir.
Oh, come on.
Well, sir, it's just a... You see, sir, our rooms are on the same landing. Now, if Ella had been knocking about, sir, in the middle of the night, I'd have heard something.
When you were fast asleep?
Well, yes, sir.
Blast it, Albert, let's have the truth.
I'm telling the truth, sir, so help me.
Oh, it's no good, Albert. It'll all have to come out in the end, so you might as well own up
now. You hold your tongue.
Oh, don't be a great ninny. Albert was in bed with me. Well, there's no law against it, is there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Grace. We was only sharing a room.
Oh, blooming idiot.
Well, I'd better put this sheet over the remains now, Doctor. May I,
yes.
If Ella could give me a hand.
Yes, of course.
Right, Ella.
All right, Albert.
We'll cover him gently.
Well, I think it's time we called the police, isn't it, Lionel?
Listen, all of you. Two more knives are missing.
Fred!
Hello, darling. You feeling better now?
Two more knives missing?
Yeah, there should be 13 in that case. There are only 10.
Are you sure?
I tell you, there are only 10 in my knife case. That one on the colonel's back makes 11. Where are number 12 and number 13?
Why should anybody want two more knives?
I hate to imagine.
Sir? Mr. Munro?
Yes, Ella?
Have you seen this chalk mark, sir, on the colonel's back?
Chalk mark?
Only very faint. But it's definitely chalk, sir.
Where?
There, sir. On his jacket, sir. Just where the knife's gone in.
Yes.
Just as if somebody had chalked a little cross on his back.
You're right. And the knife enters where both lines meet.
It's all a target, sir. As if somebody had marked out that spot to it and then found it. Look, I'm sorry, Mr. Gingrich. I didn't mean anything. Shall we cover him up now, sir?
A chalk cross? Yes, yes, cover him, please do.
Gently.
We'll soon have you coming up nice and warm, sir.
Oh, but stop blubbering.
A bit more sheet over this side. We don't want it slipping off him.
Half a mo. You take a look at that.
Eh?
See this? On his blotter. Oh. Sir, Mr. Munro.
Yes.
There's some writing on the colonel's blotter, sir. Red ink. Just like a couple of words or something.
Where?
Well, I must have just moved his arm a bit. There, sir, see? His arm must have been hiding it.
Can you make out what it says?
Well, it's just some meaningless fuzzy blot.
Sir, couldn't you hold it up to the mirror?
My dear young woman, you've been reading too many penny dreadfuls. Better leave it there for the forensic chaps.
I am a forensic chap, and I rather agree with Ella. Can you slide the blotter out?
Yeah, I think so, Doctor.
Do.
Beg pardon, Colonel. If I could just move your wrist a bit, Colonel. Gently does it. Out it comes, Colonel.
He could have written down the name of the one who done it. Yeah, that was a clean blotter last night.
Give it to me, Albert. Thank you.
Can you make out what it says, Doctor?
Please, please. Now, if you wouldn't all crowd on top of me, I might be able to.
Doctor, I think it says lion and moon.
Lion? Moon? Half a mo. That's not lion, it's... No. Never.
But it is Lionel Munro.
Oh?
Ludicrous. Why, this is perfectly ludicrous.
Let's just assume that it isn't, shall we?
No, let's not. Assumption is the lazy mind's excuse for avoiding real work. Hammer, tonight is over. Fred, it's time I took full charge.
You must be joking, of course.
You want us to put the monkey in charge of the banana stand?
Monkey?
You made pretty sure nobody else got a look at this room this morning till you'd given it a mighty thorough going over.
Oh, you mean I was clearing my tracks and wiping my fingerprints and what have you?
Exactly. And disposing of the sheet of paper that was blotted on this pad.
Oh, you mean I came in here and pocketed it, eh?
No, you didn't pocket it, Lionel.
Oh, I say. Sudden outbreak of sanity.
You put it on the fire. It's still there.
If you're referring to that sheet of charred paper...
Which you've been eyeing very nervously ever since we came in here...
Oh, dear. Dear, dear, dear. Well, can't you see that Victor himself put it on the fire last night?
No, it was put on the fire this morning.
My dear lady, forensic science, though splendidly advanced, has so far discovered no technique for determining the time of death of a sheet of paper.
But it has, Lionel. You said just now, when I suggested we call in the police, that the atmosphere of a murder was quick to evaporate once the wind blew in.
So I did. What of it?
Albert, would you open the window?
Well, it's a bit parky, miss, and we'll have all the snow blowing in here.
Well, never mind. Open the window.
Oh, very good, Doctor.
Thank you. Now, watch that sheet of paper.
Blimey, my body's stocking. Just look at that.
It's just blowing to fragments.
Yeah, crumbling into little bits.
You see, Lionel, how it disintegrates once the wind blows in.
That's quite clever.
You can close the window, Albert.
Right.
So, if the paper was put on the fire last night and got all charred up like that, it would have stayed in one piece until...
Until Mr. Munro opened the window this morning and then... blown to pieces.
Ergo, it was put there after Munro came in this morning.
Please, Vanessa, I shouldn't do that. I said don't use the phone. I wouldn't like to be forced to harm you.
Doctor, he's got a gun.
Now, Vanessa, hang up.
I'd be reluctant to use this. Thank you. That was intelligent.
Nothing to do with intelligence, Lionel. I was about to hang up anyway. The telephone isn't working, you see. It appears to have been disconnected.
Oh, you.
Marina. Do come in.
Where are they all? What have you done with them?
Oh, dear, you don't think I've done away with the entire household? Oh, do come and sit by the fire. Fred won't be long. That's better. Tea time soon. I dare say you're hungry. Missed your lunch, or should I say Christmas dinner?
Where's Fred?
He popped out to look for missing knives. Look, to set your mind at rest, I'll tell you where all of them are. Dr. Grace is upstairs examining the body. We took him to his own room. Albert and Ella are getting tea, I imagine. And that's everybody.
Fred's looking for knives. Where?
He thinks he might have left a couple in the gym yesterday after his target practice. You're shaking your head.
Fred never leaves a thing lying around.
No, that's what I thought. Are you feeling better after your rest?
Rest?
Awfully sorry I gave you a shock, producing a gun.
I passed out, didn't I? Yes. First thing I knew, I was in bed. Yes, Vanessa was trying to make me drink something, a sedative.
So you've had a refreshing sleep?
No. When she left, I emptied it down the wash basin.
Oh, dear. You don't trust Vanessa?
I don't trust anybody in this house.
Trust me, please.
Trust you? After turning your gun on us?
Not my gun. The Colonel's gun. Found it in his desk. There was no option. I couldn't have a set of country bobbies crashing about. They'd raise a very poor team on Christmas Day, you know. Do you know what I'm reading?
No.
I've been going through Victor's desk. Came across these manuscripts. I took them for his memoirs, but apparently there are no memoirs. Do you know what he's been writing all these years? Detective stories.
Victor?
Oh, yes. Only the poor chap doesn't seem to have had very much luck with them. Letters of regret from publishers, rejection slips. He was obviously no Michael Battle. Are you a fan, by the way?
Of detective stories? I used to be. Valentine was keen on them. We used to have bets on who could spot the villain first.
Valentine didn't try his hand at writing them. Seems to have been a family failing.
No, he was interested in the theory, but he never wrote one, as far as I know.
The theory?
Yes, the theory of the first suspect and that kind of thing.
Theory of the first suspect?
Yes, that's where the writer throws all the suspicion on one character early in the book. The reader tosses it out as a false trail, but the first suspect has done it all the same.
Oh, dear, in this case, I suppose that would be me. No, my dear, you might just as well say the butler did it.
Excuse me?
Well, and here he is. Come on in, Albert. We're just talking about you.
Oh, I thought my ears were burning, sir.
I was just saying that the butler did it.
Oh, go on, sir. You get worse for keeping. Still, it's nothing to joke about, is it, sir?
And what makes you think I'm joking?
No, sir. Very good, sir.
Did you want something?
Oh, yes, sir, it's Ella. She's going to do a bunk if we're not careful. She's just gone up to get her things on and pack her bag.
All right, skip it, Albert. I can speak up for myself.
Well, what's all this, Ella?
Oh, clearing out of here, that's all.
Have you seen the weather?
That's what I said, sir. It's a night to make a black dog walk in white.
So what? I'd rather die of frostbite than a knife in the back. Someone else is going to get done in here before the night's much older. And it ain't going to be me. I'm going straight to the police and put all my cards on the table. And I'll tell the absolute truth this time, so help me.
Haven't you told us the truth? Have you been hiding something?
I'm saying nothing more in this house. There's not one of you I feel safe with. And I ain't stopping here with faces staring in at the windows.
Faces at the windows? What do you mean?
There was someone at the window goggling in at me. And don't say I made it up.
When was this?
Not 5 minutes ago, in the kitchen. I was cutting the bread with me back to the window and suddenly I felt these eyes on me back. Oh, I tell you, it made my skin crawl. And then I turned round, and there weren't nobody there. Just a hole in the snow where somebody had brushed it off the pane and looked in.
Well, it was probably our friend Gingrich. He's knocking about outside.
Oh, thanks a million. Is that supposed to make me feel better? Not to worry, dear. It's only the mad knife thrower on the prowl.
Very well, go. But if you think there's a maniac at large, I think you'll soon be sorry you set off.
Oh, what can I do? I ain't going back to that kitchen. How do I know she's not waiting to jump out on me?
She?
With that face. She could have you chopped up into meat cutlets before you knew where you were. Oh, it's all very well for you to smile, sitting there in comfort. But anybody would feel jittery in that kitchen stuck right away at the end of the corridor.
If you feel like that, you can stay here with us.
In here? Honestly, you wouldn't mind?
I'd be glad of the company. So why don't you just come and sit down by the fire?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Grace.
Ooh, it's icy up there. Has the morgue. I say, Albert, isn't it about tea time?
I'm just off to see to it, Doctor.
Ah, how's the arm?
Well, it's not too hot, but I'm learning to cope with the other.
Look, why don't Ella and I get the tea? Come on, Ella. Albert can sit here and have a cigar.
No, Doctor.
No?
Ella's coming here for company. She's scared to death.
I ain't going back to that kitchen.
Well, don't be silly. I'll be with you.
Well, that's the trouble.
Better let Albert do it, Vanessa.
Oh, yeah, well, I see. Well, carry on, Albert.
Oh, very good, Doctor. Oh, well, Doctor, as it's Christmas tea...
Yeah?
Will you be wanting to wear funny hats?
No, thank you, Albert.
Oh. Righto, miss.
Now, Ella, this information you've been holding back.
Nothing to say, sir.
Oh, is Ella keeping something from us?
I'll tell all I know to the police. Nobody in this house.
Is it something about your master? About his health?
No.
Victor's health? Why, what have you discovered?
I've discovered that he was fooling himself badly if he thought he had gout. Or someone was fooling him.
What have you found?
There's no sign of gout. The leg muscles were wasting away. It looks like muscular dystrophy.
Really?
He'd have been in a wheelchair soon.
Ah.
Marina, did you come down to see him last night after we'd all gone to bed?
Victor, no.
You didn't come back and give him a pinch of snuff?
Why, no.
Well, he told you he'd take some before he went to bed.
He threw us all out. Do you think I'd come back and offer him snuff when he was in that mood?
You see, Marina, I found snuff on his jacket. A tiny peppering of snuff on his lapel.
Did you give him snuff at any time? Earlier in the evening?
No, no.
Or was he in the habit of taking snuff? Ella, did he keep snuff in the house?
I never seen none.
You didn't leave your snuff box behind last night?
No.
And come back for it later?
No, no, no.
Marina... Could you tell us the truth about Valentine's death?
The truth? What do you mean?
Well, he died in America. My brother went out to discover what happened, attend the funeral. But when he came back, he refused to talk about it. We don't know a thing, just that it was an accident.
Why are you bringing this up now?
You inherit Valentine's money.
You mean I got Valentine out of the way and then I got Victor out of the way? Oh, you're crazy.
Well, the fact remains that both of them have been got out of the way.
And as a result, you're a very rich woman.
Well, how did Valentine die?
A knife.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch
that. A knife in his heart. Yes.
How did it get there?
It was thrown. It was thrown by Fred. Yes. And it was an accident. It was an accident.
Marina, I know this is an ordeal, but try to answer calmly. How did you meet Fred Gingrich?
I went out there as an actress. The show folded almost at once. Then I auditioned for Fred. He wanted an assistant for his act. I got the job.
Didn't the partnership become closer than that?
Did we fall in love? We thought so. But then Valentine came along. He was at a loose end, looking for excitement as usual. He persuaded Fred to take him into the act.
And you fell for him?
Yes.
What did Fred think?
He took it on the chin. I think Fred was rather dazzled by him too. He was such a genuinely charming man. And such a daredevil. It was his idea for Fred to throw a knife at his heart.
As part of the act?
Yes. Valentine made a heart out of a chunk of cork. He held it against his body, covering his heart. It was the climax of Fred's throwing act, hitting that cork heart. But Fred hated the idea, so he had a trick knife made, one with a harmless blade that retracted into the handle on impact.
So what went wrong?
The night it happened, Valentine moved the cork heart just as Fred threw. Moved it just a few inches, but it was enough. He died instantly.
But I thought the knife was...
Somehow the knives got switched that night. Fred threw a real one.
I don't understand.
Fred used 13 knives in his act, a dozen genuine ones and the fake. And they were kept in a red case, and the trick knife was always in the last slot. I stood there and handed them to Fred, one at a time, as he threw.
I see. And what did the American police make of this?
A great deal.
But in the end, they were satisfied it was an accident.
In the end?
Let me get this clear. Fred threw the knife that killed Valentine.
Yes.
But you handed it to him.
Yes, yes.
And then you came in here last night with the pretext of giving his father snuff.
No, no, leave me alone.
What in hell's going on? What are you doing to her? Yeah, okay, baby, okay, there. Now everything's going to be fine.
Fred, they think I killed Victor because of the snuff. The snuff on his jacket. But I can't have done because I didn't have my snuff box.
Yeah, I didn't have it. Come on, sweetheart, I'll get you up to your room.
No, let me go.
What?
Let me go.
Marina, what's come over you?
Just leave me alone, Fred. I'm going to my room. I guess I won't be down to tea.
What's all this nonsense about snuff, for Pete's sake?
Vanessa found snuff on the lapel of Victor's jacket. Somebody came down here last night and gave it to him.
Well, it couldn't be Marina. She left her snuff box with me.
With you?
The hinge was loose. She gave it to me on the way upstairs. I was going to mend it. Now, wait a bit. The carpet. There was snuff on this carpet. Nobody had to come in and give it to him at all.
Do you mean he wanted snuff so badly that he took a pinch of it from the carpet? Oh, and Fred, would you mind explaining something else that's been puzzling Mr. Munro and me?
Well?
What were you doing down here at about 1:45 this morning, outside this door? Oh, yes, I saw you.
Now she tells it. Munro, you know about this?
Vanessa did mention it.
All right. The answer's so sensible, you're not going to believe it.
I have a bash, anyway.
£1,000. Yeah, I was trying to win that bet.
And did you succeed?
No.
Why not? I should have thought that breaking in here would have been a piece of cake for the incredible Gingrich.
You changed my mind. Something smelt wrong. And what about you, Doctor? If you saw me at the door, that
means... Oh, yes. I must have been up and doing myself. Brilliant deduction. I came down for a cup of coffee, actually.
Coffee?
I drank too much last night. Not used to it. I thought the coffee might even my keel.
Why didn't you say anything to me?
I thought you were in happy pursuit of £1,000 and shouldn't be disturbed.
Could you satisfy my curiosity about something, Doctor?
Anything at all.
Your face. What happened?
It was a fishing accident when I was a girl.
What kind of a fishing accident?
A hook, Mr. Gingrich. A double-barbed fish hook was embedded in my cheek, and the line to which the hook was connected was unfortunately jerked. The hook travelled the length of my face, tearing it rather drastically, as you can see.
And the person holding it was...
Oh, yes, my brother Victor.
I bet you loved him for that.
It didn't make me hate him.
Mr. Gingrich, excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
Was it you come to the kitchen window a while back and looked in?
Oh, yeah, I was on my way back from the gym. I guess I lost my bearings, snowing fit to choke a horse. I saw the window all lit up and looked in to check where I was. Hey, say, did I scare you?
Good, I thought it was Jack the Ripper.
Well, gosh, I'm sorry. Hey, but listen to this, Munro. I was forgetting. There's a punch bag in that gym, a boxer's punch bag hanging from a beam, and someone's been using it for more than boxing practice.
Oh?
You remember the cross on the colonel's back, the cross in chalk?
Well?
The same crosses have been chalked all over that punch bag. And you know something else?
I'm willing to take a guess.
Okay.
I imagine the punch bag has been stabbed in many places where the crosses are chalked.
Well, how'd you know that?
Credit me with a little gumption.
Excuse me, Doctor.
Yes?
It's the jelly, miss.
Jelly? What about it?
I'm having a bit of a struggle with it.
Dear fellow, you're babbling.
Do you think somebody could give me a bit of help? There's a lot you could do with one hand, but turn a jelly onto a plate is humanly impossible.
All right, Albert, I'll give you a hand.
Oh, good. Could I be a fit of collie wobbles?
I'll be okay now I know it was at that window. It was only Mr. Gingrich.
Oh, was it? Right, come on in.
Albert, could I just keep you for a minute? You run along, Ella.
To that kitchen, by myself. I'll wait for Albert, if you don't mind.
Look, would you like me to come with you? I got a famous name for flipping jellies over.
Oh. Well, all right.
Lead on.
Half a mo.
What now?
Well, sir, that jelly's what you might call my masterpiece. There's a pint of port wine in it. I wouldn't like it to end up on the floor.
Albert will handle it like a day-old babe. Come on, Ella.
Thank you, sir.
Now, tell me, Albert, how long had your master had a bad leg?
Well, you mean the gout, sir? I should say it was about 6 months ago he first started limping.
Did he ever fall over?
Well, he did a couple of times, now you mention it. Said it affected his balance.
So you won't have had many sparring sessions with him lately, in the gym?
Oh, no, sir.
But you still keep yourself in trim with the punch bag?
Well, sir, I've let things slide a bit, I'm afraid. I've not been near the gym for, oh, must be a month or two.
Leave it all to Ella, do you?
Ella, sir?
And her dumbbells?
Oh, yes. Well, she's got nothing else to occupy her mind here, sir. I think the exercise takes her mind off the bright lights. Actually, she read somewhere it would give her a fuller figure. You know, develop her out here, if you'll forgive the expression, Doctor. Yeah, it all went to her biceps.
Yeah, strong in the arm, is she?
Strong? She could lift it. Alpha Mo, what are you driving at? You can't suspect Ella, sir.
Do you know why they put her inside last time?
Inside where, sir?
Do you know why she was serving 5 years?
We never discuss anything like that, sir.
All right, I'll tell you.
It's none of my business, sir.
The last time she came over the wall, she left a pair of scissors behind.
Scissors?
Between the shoulders of a wardress.
Oh. Oh, Lord. Well, she must have had good reason, sir. That's all I can say.
Albert, congratulations.
Sir?
You're the father of a big, bouncing jelly. Safely delivered, no complications, and a beautiful red complexion.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, cheer up, man. I know expectant fathers are supposed to suffer, but this is ridiculous.
Excuse me, will you? I'm just off to the gym if anybody wants me. Take a look at that punch bag. Keep my jelly warm, will you?
Ho, ho, ho.
Fred, have you left Ella all alone in that kitchen?
Oh, she's fine now. That girl's tough.
Tough, yes. Did she happen to say anything more about the information she's been holding back?
It was strictly jelly talk.
I see.
Dr. Grace, do you mind if I have a word with Albert alone?
Alone? Oh, very well. I've got to change my dress. Put on the party velvet.
Why not? Right, Albert, listen. We've got to move like a streak of lightning. Albert, are you paying attention?
Oh, sorry, sir. I was miles away.
What's the matter?
He's trying to pin it on Ella, sir. Ella!
Listen, Albert, that guy would pin it on the Pope.
Of course he did it himself, didn't he, sir?
You can bet your life on it. Now, Albert, are you willing to take a risk? It'll get Ella off the hook.
Risk, sir?
I want you to go up to Monroe's room and bring me one of my knives. He took them off me this morning. You'll have to crack his bedroom door. Can you still do that?
Yeah, I think so, sir.
Yeah, now, the knives are in a flat red case about so wide. There's 10 knives inside. You bring me just one.
Yeah, what you want with a knife?
Now, no time to explain. Just trust me. Now, go on, scoot.
Oh, very good, sir.
And, Albert.
Sir.
Good luck. And hey presto, Frederick, the trap begins to close. What's that? Somebody at the window.
Okay, Monroe, just a minute.
Oh, ye gods! Snowflakes like tenpenny pieces, look.
Silver dollars. Ooh. Hey, what happened to you?
I fell in a bloody drift. I'm soaked to the skin.
Well, come on, in front of the fire.
No, I better go right up and get something dry.
No, just warm your hands. Here, let me pour you a drink.
Ooh, there. Oh, skull. Oh. By the way, that punch bag.
Yeah?
Did you notice anything unusual about it? Apart from its multiple wounds?
And what else?
It's been lying on the floor recently.
Well, how'd you know that?
Sawdust all over it. Sawdust and resin off the floor. At some point, it's been lowered to the floor on its pulley and then hoisted up again.
What does that signify?
Well, think about it, Gingrich, if you don't already know. But now I really must go and get out of these wet clothes. I'll see you later.
Oops. Oh, I am sorry, Mr. Monroe.
My fault, Albert. In you come.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'm in my room if I'm wanted.
Very good, sir. Phew, that was close. I nearly dropped the knife at his feet.
Where is it?
Inside my slink.
Well, give quick. Thanks, Albert, you're solid.
Oh, it's just one thing, sir.
Yeah?
I think you said there were 10 knives in that case.
That's right.
Wrong, sir. There were only 9. Only 8. Now you've got that one.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Well, that makes 2 knives unaccounted for. What in hell's going on?
Oh, are you still here, Albert? Isn't it time we were sitting down to your wonderful tea?
Yes, Doctor. I'll just go and see how Ella's doing.
Oh, ring the bell.
Oh, very good, miss.
That's right.
Did you look in on Marina while you were upstairs?
Yes, I think she must be feeling a bit better. She was having a bath. Oh, good evening, Lionel. Very smart.
Evening.
What's the matter? You seem to be in a very brown study. Is something wrong?
I rather think it is. Look here, I don't want to be an alarmist, but I think we should all stick together from now on.
Why? What's happened?
I've just been to my room. I had the impression somebody had been in there. Anyway, I thought I'd better check Gingrich's throwing knives.
Well?
Two more have vanished.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so.
Lionel, I'm beginning to feel a certain sense of déjà vu. I have been here before.
What?
In the pages of certain detective stories, at a lull in the action, at the point in the story when the plot seems in danger of losing impetus and drying up.
Why? What happens then?
Well, there's only one sure way of setting the plot in motion again. That's to kill off another character. Oh, why doesn't Ella answer that bell?
Shall I ring again, Doctor?
No, Albert. I don't think it can be working. I think I'll just go and see what she's doing. Excuse me, won't you?
Albert?
Yes, sir?
When I went out of here to change my clothes and we collided in the doorway...
Oh, yes, sir.
Where had you been?
You mean when we bumped into each other in the doorway?
Yes. Where'd you just come from?
Albert had been doing a little errand for me.
Oh, what errand?
I sent him up to my room for a pack of cigarettes.
I see. Well, Vanessa? Vanessa, what is it?
It's Ella.
Ella? Oh, no.
Oh, yes. A knife. One of yours, Mr. Gingrich. In her back. A downward blow struck with the right hand.
Right hand? But are you sure?
Certain.
Lord help us. So now there's two of them about. A right-hander and a left-hander.
Or just one, who happens to be both right and left-handed.
Fred? Fred? Oh, there you are. I changed my mind. I guess I will take tea after all. What's the matter? Is something wrong? Fred, has something else happened?
It was not the merriest of Christmas teas. Afterwards, we gathered together in the library before a great fire. Marina and Albert played cards while Fred Gingrich sat for hours scribbling in an exercise book and scowling at anyone who interrupted his train of thought. Lionel Munro and I sat reading my brother's curious detective novels. At 1 o'clock, I made cocoa for everyone, and surprisingly, everyone drank it.
Not bad for cocoa.
Very nice indeed.
Well, I'm glad you all approve. And now perhaps we can relax. I put down one of Victor's manuscripts somewhere.
And what was it called?
Died Laughing.
Died Laughing? Oh, yes. Here it is.
Oh, thank you.
I'm reading one called Relatively Dead.
Yes, he had a certain knack for titles, if nothing else.
Yes. It's about a woman who murders her brother because she's somewhat embittered about a scar he inflicted on her in childhood.
Really? How does she kill him?
Strychnine in his cocoa, actually.
Oh, how sad.
Thanks.
What's that you're writing, Fred? Hmm? Not a detective story, I hope. I suddenly feel the world is overburdened with them.
No, I've been working out a railway timetable of everybody's movements here in the last 24 hours, making a note of everything they've said, adding up all the little peculiarities like snuff on the colonel's jacket and the chalk marks and the slashed punch bag and the writing on the blot pad. And finally, it's all starting to make sense. But for one damn thing.
And what's that?
Monroe's name on the blot pad just doesn't fit in.
Well, why not leave it out?
Leave it out?
Let me paint you a small picture. Victor is slumped at his desk. He's just been stabbed in the back by Lionel.
Well, thank you.
With his last ounce of strength, he scrawls Lionel's name on a sheet of paper. Plausible, Fred?
Well, why not? You said yourself he might have lived for a couple of minutes after the knife went in.
So I did. Very well. Victor has scrawled his attacker's name on a sheet of paper. And now this dying man, in terrific pain, sinking into oblivion, takes the trouble to turn that sheet of paper over and carefully blot it on the blotting paper. Still plausible?
Why, no. But what, then?
Well, it was red ink.
Red ink?
I think Vanessa's suggesting it was a red herring.
Or to throw the blame on you.
It had that effect.
Yeah, but listen, if you're not to blame, what about the burnt sheet of paper in the fireplace? Only you could have put it there. Dr. Grace proved that.
Yes, I did put it there.
You what?
I came in, found the body, found the report. After I read it, I decided to destroy it.
Report? What report?
What Victor had written was a report to the prison commissioners accusing Ella Chatto of stealing a £5 note and recommending her recall to prison.
But I don't follow. Why burn it?
Because I didn't believe a word of it. Even if I had, I wouldn't have thought it warranted sending the girl back to prison.
So you just went ahead and destroyed what could have been a vital piece of evidence?
I destroyed something false to save someone genuine... someone genuinely trying to reform herself.
Ah, so that's it. The last of the loose ends. Now it starts to make sense.
You mean you know who killed Victor?
Not exactly, but I think I know how it was done.
Well, are you going to share this discovery? I'm sure we're all on tenterhooks to know.
I'm sure you are, Dr. Grace. Can I demonstrate? You never caught my act, did you? The incredible Gingrich. Well, now's your chance. Imagine you're in the theatre. Up with a curtain and presto, Gingrich stands before you. Good evening, good evening. I am going to need one assistant. Could I have a volunteer from the audience? Oh, come on, folks. What's wrong? Isn't there one good sport out there tonight?
I don't mind having a bash, sir.
Ah, gentleman in the front row. Splendid. Give him a big hand, please. Will you step forward, sir? That's right. Up you come. Your name, sir?
Albert Congleton.
May I call you Albert?
Yes, sir.
That's fine, Albert. Now, before we go any further, I bring out the snuff. There. And sprinkle a little smidgen on the carpet about here, I guess. Yeah, there. Fine. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you've all got to imagine I'm Colonel Grace. Everybody got that? Have you got that, Albert?
Yes, sir.
Right. It's 1:30 in the morning. I've kicked everybody out because my dog's dead and it's made me sore. So what are you doing in here?
Me, sir.
You, Albert? Get out of here. Never darken my library again.
You... want me to leave the room, sir?
Sure, out with you. Scoop!
Right you are, sir.
Oh, Albert.
Yes, sir.
You wait out there 3 minutes, then knock on the door.
3 minutes. Very good, sir.
Okay, scram! Okay, folks, now what? Oh, yeah. I lock the door. Slip the bolts. There, that's that. And now the window. Now, the window's secure. Now, I'm all alone in a locked and sealed room, right? And to make sure nobody sneaks in on me, I switch on my cute little musical guillotine. There. Now, I go to my desk. I sit down. Take out a sheet of paper. Dump my pen in the red ink. And write a report to the prison commissioners. Bad girl, felony of a fiver, ungrateful slut, blah, blah, blah. So kindly take her back to the pen, your humble, so forth and so on, Victor Grace, etc. There, right, done. Now, turn it over, blah, blah, blah. Ah, hold it. And you see what I did?
You blotted the report.
And so would he.
And yet there was no trace on the blotter.
Ergo?
The report had been written before. Earlier in the day.
Must have been. So how come it was on the desk when you broke in?
It was taken out of the desk and left there deliberately to implicate Ella.
Yeah, it fits, it fits. Okay, I don't have to write the report because it's already been done. There. Report back in the drawer. Now, you've got to imagine that a lot of time passes. Everybody goes to bed. Snow falls silently. Owls call. I'm in here alone for an hour or so. And then there's a tap on the door. Now listen. I want none of you to interfere during what happens next. Not a peep, okay? Just don't butt in, not even if the heavens fall. And remember, I'm Colonel Grace. Yeah, who's there?
It's me, sir. Albert.
Just a moment. And now I have to cut the music. Otherwise, I cut Albert. There. Now I let the good man in. Come in, Albert.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Just a tick. Albert, I'll switch the guillotine on again so we won't be disturbed. There. Now, are you ready, Albert?
What for, sir?
I'll show you. I've got something hidden away here. Under my armpit.
Oh, what's that, sir?
This.
A knife?
Yes, one of that frightful fellow Gingold's throwing knives, Albert. We'll take it. Go on. There.
What am I to do with this, sir?
Just hold on to it for a moment. There's one more piece of writing I've got to do.
What are you writing, sir?
The name of my old buddy, Lionel Monroe. Right, now blot it carefully. There, leaving a neat impression on the blotter. All right, Albert, throw the original on the fire, will you? Here you are.
Very good, sir.
Is it all right?
Yes, it's burning.
Well, give it a poke to make sure.
All gone, sir.
Good. Now what? Oh, yeah. My report on Ella. There. I leave this, so, on top of the desk. Now, Albert, are you ready?
Anything you say, sir.
I lie on the carpet. So, flat on my stomach. There we are. I say, wait a minute.
What's wrong, sir?
I do believe somebody's spilt snuff on this carpet. I've got it all over the front of my jacket. Oh, well, another little clue to bamboozle them all, what? Right. You ready, Albert?
Yes, sir.
Get in position, then.
Position?
Stand at my head, facing me.
Like this, sir.
Fine. Now, have you got the chalk?
Chalk?
Oh, no. Oh, that's all right. I've got a piece here in my pocket. There you are.
What do I do with this, sir?
Find the spot.
Pardon?
Bend over me and prod a finger into my back.
Oh.
You're looking for the heart.
Yeah.
No. Higher.
Yeah.
Bit to the right.
Yeah.
Ah, there. That's it. Now, chalk across there. Done it?
Yes, sir.
You've got the knife?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, stay just as you are, facing me. Now, bend over me and make a practice stab at that cross on my back.
Like this, sir.
That's it. Fine. Now, I want you to raise that knife really high. You doing that?
Yes, sir.
Right above your head?
As high as it'll go, sir.
Now, just think of the strength you could get behind a blow like that. All your weight coming down on top of me. The knife will go right in, see? Up to the hilt.
Yes, sir. You mean like this, sir?
Oh, man, you've killed him.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gingrich. But you did ask for it, sir.
Fred, oh, my darling!
No, Mrs. Grace. Stay where you are. It's too late to help him. He's as dead as a doornail.
Not so fast, Albert.
Blimey.
I've still got 2 minutes left before I peg out, remember?
Fred!
Now, quiet, Marina. Stand up. I'm dying, but on my travels out east, I've learned to blot out pain. So I totter over to the wall, switch up the guillotine. So, now it's all clear for Albert to go out through the door. He slips out, and I lock it, shoot the bolts home. Now I stagger back to the guillotine switch, and presto, sealed off from the world. And now over to my desk. I sit down, pick up my pen. Then I die. Like so.
How's that, Albert?
Very good, sir. That knife.
This? It's a fake, old chap. A trick knife, Albert.
You mean I went upstairs into Mr. Monroe's room and bought you a fake knife?
No, I broke into the room before you and stole it myself.
I don't get it. Why send me up to steal one?
There is no way a one-handed man can crack Monroe's door. I was testing you.
Fred, Albert is a one-handed man. That sprain of his, it's certainly not a counterfeit.
Yeah, but Albert shared a certain trick with his master. He can blot out pain. You bust that arm deliberately, right?
Yes, sir. I just put it in a door and twisted it.
You're as cracked as a lump of moonrock, aren't you, Albert?
No, sir. I've just been following orders like a good soldier. It was all up with the colonel. You know that, Doctor. No future except as a cabbage on wheels. So he thought he'd go on one last campaign.
Campaign? With what object?
To lumber you with a murder conviction.
To lumber me? He lumbered down here everybody.
Oh, no, sir. As the colonel saw it, at the end of the day, when all the false scents had been blown away, the police would have to zero in on you. Who else had already put his knife into one member of the family? Who else had a history of passing through locked doors? Who else stood to marry a rich heiress?
And Ella? Was killing her part of his campaign?
No, sir. Regrettable, that. but Ella was the only one with anything against me. We worked out the alibi we'd been in bed together. She thought it was protecting her, of course. Naturally, suspicion would fall on a girl with a violent record. At least, that's how I put it to her, sir. When she said she was going off to tell the whole truth, I had to shut her up. Put yourself in my position.
And you killed the dog?
Dr. Watson. Yes, sir. Colonel's orders.
I thought he was so fond of it.
Too fond to risk it going to a bad home or pining away. Wanted it buried alongside his own body, he did. Oh, I hope somebody will see to that. Wanted me dead and buried with him as well. Said I was his faithful arm too. But I said that was carrying faithfulness beyond bounds.
And all this because he thought I murdered Valentine?
Because he knew you did, sir.
He was wrong, Albert.
I don't think so, sir.
But he was. Valentine killed himself.
No, madam.
Yes, Albert. I could never tell Victor this. Valentine made me swear. But Valentine went through life in a constant state of terror. I know, I saw him. I had to nurse him through the nights when he couldn't sleep, when he lay whimpering and trembling at the thought of all the risks he'd run during the day. He'd always had to prove to his father that he was braver than anyone else. It was all an act for his father's benefit. And his biggest fear was that Victor would find out the truth. Until in the end he couldn't go on pretending. He switched the knives himself. He left his heart unprotected deliberately. That's the truth.
Well, Albert, what do you intend doing now?
Well, I've been thinking about that, sir. As far as I can see, there are two options. I could shoot you all. Or I could make you a nice pot of tea and some goose sandwiches. I don't know which.
Sandwiches, Albert, definitely.
There's a bit of port wine jelly left.
Oh, gosh, terrific.
And mince pies with rum butter inside.
Ooh, what a feast.
After all, it is Christmas, isn't it? Right. Stay there. I won't be a jiffy.
Albert, you get away from that door.
Door, sir?
Listen, there's music. You haven't switched off the guillotine.
There is no guillotine, sir. Just one of the Colonel's little pranks. He told me himself was all a blind. Had you fooled always, didn't he?
Are you sure?
Just watch me open it and walk out of here.
Oh, God!
Poor old Albert. He finally got his cut.
A decent British murder.
Huh?
With a gory French ending.